We all know that life is a gift. Life is a blessing. And life should be lived full of joy. But we also know that life is full of suffering. It's a universal issue, an ancient issue. In the book of Job, we read, "Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." And on the night before his crucifixion, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, one of the last things he told them, it's recorded in the 16th chapter of John, Jesus said, "You will have suffering in this world." He didn't say you might. He didn't say there's the possibility that you're going to suffer. He said, "You will have suffering in this world." A few years ago, there was a poll asking people, if you had only one question you could ask God, if you had one question you could ask God, what would it be? Overwhelmingly, the question was, why is there suffering in the world? Why do good people, godly people, the best people suffer? Why is life not fair? Well, as people of faith, we hope that we can face suffering like the Shunammite woman. We hope that in the midst of despair, we will be able to say, "It is well with my soul." We hope we could be like the Apostle Paul, who in the New Testament lesson said, "We're hard pressed on every hand, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed." But how can we find that faith? One of the most remarkable stories in American history comes from the 19th century. A 19th century Chicago lawyer by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was a very successful lawyer. He lived in a lovely home on the north side of Chicago. He had five beautiful children, had a wonderful wife, Anna, and five beautiful children, four girls and one boy, Horatio Jr. He was also a good man. He was a godly man. He did all the right things. The whole family was active and faithful in the Presbyterian church. He was an elder in the church. He was a friend with the American evangelist Dwight L. Moody and one of his primary benefactors. In fact, Dwight L. Moody was a frequent guest in the Spafford home. He and his wife Anna were not just dedicated Christians. They were social activists. They were involved in all the right causes of the day, most especially the abolitionist movement. In many ways, you can say that they lived a charmed life. Even though the war between the states was raging, it did not affect them. They were like Job in the Old Testament. You know, if you read the study of Job, as many of us did a couple of years ago, the story begins with a man who did all the right things. Job was a good man. He was a godly man. He was active in the faith. He probably sang in the choir. He was a man who sacrificed to God, and he led his family to do the same thing. And as a result, God blessed him. God gave him material prosperity. Job was a very wealthy man. Job also had a beautiful family. It was the way that life was supposed to be. And that was the way that Horatio Spafford and his wife Anna experienced life. Everything was good. They lived a good life. God blessed them. Lovely family, material prosperity. What more could you ask for? And then in 1870, their only son, Horatio Jr., who was only 4 years old, contracted scarlet fever, and he died. The family was devastated. They had never experienced such tragedy. But yet, they continued to be faithful. They continued to do the right things. And then Horatio Spafford made a calculated business decision. Now, he was already a very wealthy man. He decided to make an investment. He decided to invest in Chicago real estate on the lakefront because he believed that this real estate would only escalate in value. I mean, it would be a wise investment. He took most all of his assets and he invested in the lakefront real estate of Chicago. But then there was a second tragedy. In the book of Job, everything is going his way, but then there's tragedy. He loses all of his resources. He loses all of his material assets, and then he loses his family. The story of Job is the story of all humanity. As long as men and women have walked the face of this earth, they have shared the journey with someone whose name may have been Job. Do you know that the book of Job is probably the oldest document that we have in Holy Scripture? And it's a story about the question that most people want to ask. Why is there suffering in the world? Do you know that every ancient civilization has a Job story? The Sumerians, Job story that goes back to 2000 BC, a long time before anything that we have in Holy Scripture. The Egyptians had a Job story. All the ancient civilizations had a story about a man who did the right thing and he suffered. The death of Horatio Jr. was just the beginning of the tragedy for the Spaffords. Because after he had made that investment in October of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed all of his real estate holdings. Overnight, his entire investment was wiped away. But Horatio Spafford said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And do you know what the Spafford family did with their remaining resources? They fed the hungry. There were so many people who were devastated and misplaced by the Chicago fire. They were homeless. And the Spaffords used what resources they had left to reach out, to minister, to try to make a difference in those people's lives. And slowly they were beginning to recover a little financially. But those two tragedies were having its effect, especially on Anna Spafford. And Horatio Spafford made a decision. They had always wanted to go to Europe, always wanted to travel, always wanted to go on a European vacation. And not only that, their friend, Dwight L. Moody, was holding an evangelistic crusade in London. So Mr. Spafford said, "We can go over to Europe, we can tour, we can have a wonderful, relaxing time, and then we can go and help our friend Dwight L. Moody with the evangelistic crusade." And so he booked passage on a French steamship, the Ville du Havre. At the last minute, before they were supposed to leave and go to France, there was a business emergency. And Horatio Spafford had to cancel. But he told his wife and his four daughters, he said, "I want you to go on." And so they went to New York, they got on the Ville du Havre, and they went across the Atlantic. On the night of November the 22nd, 1873, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, there was a collision at sea. There were two ships that rammed each other. The Ville du Havre sank in a matter of minutes. And of the 307 passengers on board, only 81 survived. All four of the Spafford girls perished at sea. Anna had the youngest daughter in her arms when she went into the water, and suddenly there was a violent collision and the little girl was swept away. It was a miracle that she survived. When she arrived in Wales, she cabled her husband with the words, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" He booked passage on the next ship, and he asked the captain to let him know when they were over the site where the collision had taken place and where his daughters had perished. They said that he spent almost all day looking out at the ocean. And the captain came to him and said, "We think we're over the place where the collision took place." And then he went into his stateroom and he wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." But that's not the end of the story. For after he was reunited with his wife, they went back to Chicago and God blessed them again with three more children, including a son whom they named Horatio. But tragedy was not over. When that little boy was 4 years old, just like his brother, he contracted scarlet fever and he died. But the Spaffords never lost their faith. And in 1880, they did a remarkable thing. They took their family and they moved to Jerusalem. And they started a colony named the American Colony, where they ministered to people who were homeless, to children who had no family, to people who were hungry. And the amazing thing was, it was a ministry not just to Christians, not just to Jews, but also to Muslims. They opened the American Colony to anyone who had need because they said, "We're all children of God." The American Colony was much like Koinonia Farm that Clarence Jordan established in Georgia in the 1940s. And they lived the rest of their life in ministry in the Holy Land, and they were both buried in Jerusalem. In 1876, there was a hymn writer by the name of Philip Bliss, and he took the words of Horatio Spafford and he put them to music. It was the last hymn he would ever write. 4 weeks later, he and his wife were tragically killed in a train wreck. And when you open your hymnal to hymn number 519, as we are about to do, you're going to notice something. You know, every hymn has... the tune has a name. I want you to look at the name of the tune, "For It Is Well With My Soul," and you will see the words, "The Ville du Havre," the name of the steamship in which the girls were lost. It is a testimony to the power of God that even in our greatest tragedy and our greatest need, it is well. It is well with my soul. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this hymn together. I hope we can sing it with new power and new meaning now that we know the story behind it. And as we do, we would open the doors of the church, inviting anyone to come and make a decision for Christ, to become a part of our church family. Let us stand and sing, "It is well with my soul."